Starting off hard there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we started doing that last week, man. That's the mixing in Total Chaos. Yeah, I can't remember. War is a Racket right there. And we can include other songs. So you got music out there. We want to play it. We want to include it on Freethinker Radio. We'll be playing some more music, including I'm going to debut one of my new songs. And it looks like we're going to play a Dead Rabbit song later on as well. So we're with you guys for the next hour. As you see, we got Johnny, but not Micah.
Always something.
We can't get all three of us together for some reason.
It's been life, dude. Life.
Yeah.
We're like a band. We're a band. We all live different lives, but it's awesome to come together.
Yeah, we got different projects going on and different shit happening, but well, I want to let everybody know, just remind, and maybe we can talk about what you were just mentioning briefly, Johnny. Remind everybody that you can find our work, the three of us, the show we do here at thehoustonfreethinkers.com if you want to check that out, thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Johnny was just talking about how annoying it is to try to maintain social media, and I agree with you. And it can be a drag trying to do something, you know, trying to have a project, trying to represent music or truth or whatever it is that you're into. It's a full-time
thing. And then it's like, buy this thing that you were just talking about 5 minutes ago that you wish your phone didn't know about. You know what I mean? Yeah, just the constant, like, just being on Facebook or Instagram or those sites themselves, just the advertisements makes me feel like I'm watching, like, cable TV or something. Like, you know, it gets stressful, so...
Yeah, not to mention they are addictive, man.
Yeah,
they can be, at least if you let them be.
You just scroll.
Yeah, but that's why it's better to have our own sites, and we've got thehoustonfreethinkers.com. For those who are watching, I'm showing on screen. I actually posted the archive, so if you missed last week, if you want to tune in, you can start. We'll start to put all the archives there, including all the links that we cover, including everything that we're going to cover tonight. You can stay plugged in with that. But before we dive in, Johnny, to some of the news, there are, you know, lots of big stories going on. Of course, we got COVID-1984 updates, like it seems like we always do. But is there anything going on at House of J or anything happening in Houston that you want to share about?
We're actually having a movie night on the 25th. And yeah, it's going to be a Freddy and Jason movie night. So scary movies. Yeah. We started our, our good friend Greg let us borrow his pizza oven. So we've actually been doing farm-to-table pizzas at the house in the wood fire oven, which doubles, I'll say, wood fire ovens, they double as, like, you know, doomsday prepper devices for those there Texans that got hit by the storm and their ovens weren't working temporarily. You know, you got some wood.
Always good to be prepared.
You got some wood, you can make some pizza.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, that's happening on the 25th at House of J, 323 Hutchison Street. And I'm actually playing a show with the Dead Rabbits also at Dan Electro's, also Fusca on Holiday. And, cool. You know, just look around for events in the area. There's always like 13 things going on. I wish I could shout out my friends right now. I'm sure there's another event.
Cool. Well, that sounds like, you know, some stuff to get into if anybody's in Houston. I want to mention one event that's not particularly in Houston, but it's something that wherever you're listening from, whenever you're listening, if you're listening the next couple weeks, you might be able to attend. It's been a couple years since I've been to it, but the first couple weeks of August is Jackalope Freedom Festival. It's happening in Arizona. You can go to jackalopefreedomfestival.com. And me and Miriam just kind of made our decision the other day, like yesterday, like, all right, let's go ahead. Let's do it. So we're head from Mexico and next weekend, and we will be arriving. Yeah, we're gonna go, and I'm gonna give like a short talk. I'll probably perform as 33. It's August 1st through the 14th, so basically the first 2 weeks of August, and it's in near Forest Lakes, Arizona. Really, what you got to do is go to Jackalope Freedom Festival, and for those who can see on screen, or you go visit there, there are some coordinates. Put those coordinates on the map and go there. Meet in the meadows,
and
there'll be music, there'll be speakers, there will be people selling food, selling whatever, camping, enjoying the beautiful forest. If you want to go be somewhere where there's freedom-minded people, anarchists, agorists, whatever you want to say, music, you can sell your product for free, you can vend for free, you can speak for free in the forest, I recommend checking out Jackalope Freedom Festival.
How dare they do that?
I know, it's horrible. People, and I highly doubt there will be any masks in that forest. So if you're looking for a good time, go check it out. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into it, man. I was telling you before we started, this has been, I don't know if it's the biggest story right now. It feels so weird. Like, it feels like there's never these days, maybe, right, other than COVID, because COVID pervades everything. Like, there's never really one single big story that is like, oh my God, this is the story. And everybody's like, because, you know, the world's so crazy and split up with the internet and everything. But anyways, I think it's a big story. It's about this Pegasus technology that some of you guys might have heard about. Let me see if I can pull this up. So this was being reported on by
surveillance tools.
Yeah. So this is being reported on by The Guardian in the UK and in the Washington Post. And I can't say I particularly trust either of those. Like, they definitely both push, you know, propaganda messages sometimes, but you will find good reporting there as well. They're calling this the Pegasus Project. And there's, I think, about a dozen different articles. If you just click on the Pegasus Project at The Guardian, you're going to find like all these different articles and podcasts examining the different aspects of it. Let me actually just start there. I'll just show the main thing. So the Pegasus Project, a special investigation into the NSO group, which sells hacking spyware to governments. One of the articles is titled Massive Leak Uncovers Global Abuse of Weapon of Mass Surveillance. And then they just go like deeper and deeper, and they're showing all these different ones, including Telegram founder listed in leaked Pegasus Project data. Now, I think some people saw that and thinks that that means he's working with the company. No, all that means is that somebody using this technology contained within these leaks gathered his data as well. Like, so it kind of just shows people that, like, hey, like, there's a lot of people under surveillance, or at least who've been considered. French president orders multiple inquiries into leaked Pegasus Project after French minister's phone shows traces linked to NSO spyware. So, I mean, this is a pretty big scandal. Like, it's, you know, they're showing that, hey, like, it was tracking whoever was using it. And again, this is a project, this is technology that specifically is sold to governments, that they were tracking journalists all around the world. And there's a look like they got a podcast series. I mean, it's a whole lot. If you want to dive into
what,
this.
So this is a tool that does what for the person using it? Like, if I'm using it, you're trying to like get their metadata, essentially. You could get like location,
it's a lot more than metadata. So like metadata is like what Snowden was talking about. And it's stuff that we've known for years. That's why, like, honestly, I think people are numb to this shit. They're like, yeah, of course the governments or these companies are spying on us. But metadata is like time and location, maybe the people called. It's not necessarily the contents of the call. Whereas this, let me see if I can pull up the, they had a graphic somewhere in here. It might not be this article that showed, but at the end of the day, this technology, which they're calling Pegasus, which is made by the NSO group, is able of getting like all WhatsApp messages, Telegram messages, text messages, pictures, contents of phone calls, like contacts, all the different things. So it says investigation by The Guardian and 16 other media organizations suggests widespread and continuing abuse of Israeli surveillance company NSO Group's hacking spyware, Pegasus, which the company insists is only intended for use against criminals and terrorists. So they have a tool called Pegasus, which it says is, quote, capable malware that infects iPhones and Android devices to enable operators of the tool to extract messages, phones, photos, emails, record calls, and secretly activate microphones. That's pretty crazy. We've known the FBI and others have had some similar technologies. We've talked about this before. The leak contains a list of more than 50,000 phone numbers that it is believed have been identified as those of people of interest by clients of NSO. So again, somebody's name being listed in there, like the French prime minister, the founder or the CEO of Telegram and others, that means that somebody using this software at some point that they got from NSO was tracking those people. So that could be governments, it could be private organizations, but they claim that they only sell to governments. So forensic analysis of a small number of phones whose numbers appeared on the leaked list also showed more than half had traces of the Pegasus spyware. The Guardian and its media partners will be revealing the identities of people whose numbers appeared on the list in coming days. This was a couple days ago when they first started reporting on it. They've now started to do that. It says the list includes hundreds of business executives, religious figures, academics, NGO employees, government officials, cabinet ministers, presidents, and prime ministers. The disclosures begin on Sunday with the revelation that the numbers of more than 180 journalists are listed in the data, including reporters, editors, and executives from the Financial Times, CNN, the New York Times, France 24, The Economist, Associated Press, Reuters, and others. And now this is an interesting part that I want to kind of get into. But first, before I do that, Johnny, what are your thoughts on this just generally? Like, is this anything, okay, yeah, like I said, big deal. We've heard about this. We've known about this. What do you think?
Well, it's always good to put like a name to it. You know, there's that. And I think second is, you know, we just have to remember how prevalent it is, and we can't really, I don't know what the solution is, unfortunately, is how I feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the cat's out of the bag surveillance wise, and they have so many technologies. If it wasn't Pegasus, like, how would we ever know if someone wasn't running this program? Like, you know, it says 10,000, but like, how would we not know it's more than 10,000, or how, I don't know. Just sneaky stuff like this. It's like you should just be careful what you say. You know, turning on your microphone secretly. I know a lot of people that'll tape up their cameras already on their laptops. People kind of assume that, and I made a joke about it at the beginning of the show also, how, you know, whatever apps are running in the background of your phone are listening, and if they hear that you ripped your pants and you really want a new pair of pants, like, somehow there'll be advertisements for pants on your phone if you're not paying attention. So, I mean, these things are always listening, and it is getting to a creepy point, you know? So that's like that 1984 aspect of the COVID-1984, because the real question is, if all that wasn't going around on in the background, you know, would there be such a fragrant, like, you know, march towards this, like, surveillance? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, I think that at the end of the day, it's really probably impossible for us to know how much of this surveillance has already affected our lives, right? And that's not, for me, like a call to say, yeah, so we shouldn't even bother, right? So we shouldn't care. Because some people are like, I have nothing to hide. Let me just, who cares? Like, I talked to a friend recently and I was telling him about some of these things, and hey, they're doing this. And his response was like, well, I don't really do anything. I'm not really up to much. You know, why would somebody want to watch me or this or that? And I tried to just have that conversation with him. But my point here is that, yeah, like going even before Snowden, there was people who were other whistleblowers who were revealing the extent of the U.S. government, and not just U.S. government, but the international governments. And now we're at a point where there's the private surveillance state, you know, where you have companies themselves who they're not governments. We might not even know a lot of them. Clearview AI is one that I've talked about, and some of these others, but they have all kinds of information on us. They have, you know, so much knowledge about our lives. And like you said, that can come up in ways where it's just like advertising, or it can come up in ways where, you know, one of the things I've heard more people talking about recently, and I think it's worth mentioning, is that right now some of the things that you're doing might not be considered illegal, but take a look at the world that we're in right now and how quickly it's changing, right? And how there's a potential that, like, things you do now could later be used against you, right? Because they're just gathering so much data on you right now, and they're going to have just terabytes of data on all of our lives. And in the future, near to long-term future, the governments or other private organizations or social credits or businesses, they could gain access to this treasure trove of information about people. That's all they're doing, is private companies are putting it together, governments are putting it together, they're buying access. And then that can be used against you in so many different ways. So I think people really need to think about the amount of information we give away. And then one other point, you mentioned like the cameras. I actually got a new laptop that has a little slidey thing, so I could just slide right and close this. Okay. But I still don't necessarily trust it. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I feel like that thing's still looking at me. I need to tape it up. Right. But also, like, the other thing, go ahead. What'd you say?
I said, what if they could unslide it? It was just,
yeah, I'm so paranoid though.
I mean, even if it
looks like it's slid, like it's blocked, like it's physically blocked, like here, like that, like, I don't think they could get through that. But we do know that in the name slips me right now, but it was a WikiLeaks from a few years ago. I can't remember the title that people gave it. Oh, Vault 7, I think. And they show that the Samsung smart TVs, and I'm sure others, that the FBI and other organizations could remotely, just like this Pegasus is talking about, they could remotely turn on the microphones and things like that, and turn on the cameras, even when they were in the off mode, you know?
Can we just talk about how crazy it is that George Orwell called that? Like, that one's the craziest.
The telescreens.
Yes, the telescreens, man. Like, I mean, how long until, like, there's, like, a supervisor for so many people and they got to make sure that you're working out in the morning?
Yeah, like, man.
I don't know.
It's,
I'm sorry.
It's
just
a scary
going down
direction.
This hole too, no,
I mean,
far,
I,
man.
I think it's worth it, though.
But we are here in a situation where, like, you know, like the, you know, quote unquote smart everything, like you know, your toaster is going to have a microphone on it. So you can be like, hey, toaster, toast me some toast. And, you know, something will happen. I don't know. It's going to be weird. Like, and I think that a lot of people aren't looking far enough ahead. The same thing with the people who joke about, like, the microchips and the vaccines. And I'm not going to sit here and claim there's microchips and vaccines. I definitely don't believe that, you know, that's happening necessarily at all right now. But, like, the idea that, like, hypothetically down the road that it could be possible, like, I don't know.
Yeah, we shouldn't dismiss the possibilities. And in just a little bit, one of the stories I want to go into, I think that you'll appreciate it, because it kind of goes the direction you were headed. It describes like a future that is right kind of on the brink of happening. And people really need to think about how much technology we're swallowing and just consuming, you know?
Dang, no. So I'm sorry. I totally missed the second half of that part. So like hypothetically, if they were to like, you know, a lot of people's arguments against like, why would they ever microchip us, you know, and not forget the vaccine part. Why would the government want to microchip us when we already have the phone? We already have the surveillance, you know, because they say they already have Pegasus. They already have these apps to track us all the time. But we see we are looking to the future. We're looking 10, 15, 20 years in the future. We already have a monkey playing video games with his brain. Okay. Like we need to understand that like eventually your phone might be inside of you.
Well, like, I think
they might, and they wouldn't need to microchip you. You would line up in a fucking tent to get the new eye chip in your ass. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like they're like, people just don't have the foresight to realize like your phones are going to become obsolete potentially, or it could be wearables. It seems to be transitioning into this thing. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I just think that that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we're actually only talking about 5 to 10 years in the future. This isn't even that far off. Like it's right here. And then the other thing was what you touched on at the end is it's not really, I've heard that argument and heard it from the mainstream. And I do think for the moment it is true. It's like, hey, why would they microchip us? Right. Most people carry around the smart devices
around the
all the time, but there is a big difference between the information they can get from that, which is just what you know, it's a lot. It's like what you search, it's what you look at, right? But the next level of it, and this is kind of going into the transhumanist, technocratic, great reset world that they are talking about openly, and that's what you touched on the second thing, which is wearables. And part of wearables is also injectables, implantables. And so that way, it's not just like your search history, it's like your thoughts, or it's your biometrics, like your body temperature. And there's all these different creepy ways. I don't want to even go too far because it gets into a story I want to cover in just a bit. But let's go back to this Pegasus thing because I want to show one other kind of local connection, local for me.
That we got way off that. Sorry.
Well, it's all related, right? I mean, that's the thing is I think people should look at things like Pegasus and this all these issues in the larger context and see that it's not like you shouldn't just look at it as one isolated example of surveillance. You got to look at it in the context of how it's all interconnected. So it says that there's a phone number of a freelance Mexican reporter, Cecilio Pineda Bierto, was found in the list apparently of interest to a Mexican client in the weeks leading up to his murder when his killers were able to locate him at a car wash. His phone has never been found, so no forensic analysis has been possible to establish whether it was infected. So just to kind of take that in, they're saying there's a Mexican journalist, freelance Mexican reporter, who's pissed somebody off and probably reporting on the cartel and the governments and things like that. And somebody, it says just a Mexican client. Like, does that mean it's the Mexican government? That's what I think that like they need to give more information about this. What they say here is that NSO, the group behind Pegasus, said that even if Pineda's phone had been targeted, it does not mean data collected from his phone contributed in any way to his death, stressing governments could have discovered his location by other means. He was among at least 25 Mexican journalists apparently selected as candidates for surveillance over a 2-year period. But I mean, think about that. Like this Mexican reporter, people know like it's a dangerous place in Mexico to be reporting on like the governments and the cartels. Like it is definitely doesn't have a great record for press freedom and for, you know, journalists surviving when they report on the government. And then there's some Mexican client that buys access to NSO Group's Pegasus. And within weeks of getting this guy's number on there, he's dead. He's murdered. Clearly, they could have got his location from this, you know. So I just think that's like kind of maybe a little bit of a reality check. And then here's another Mexico angle. Mexico's president, inner circle potential targets of Pegasus spyware. That's like the one that just came out today, yesterday. So, you know, getting all the way up to the presidents of Mexico, presidents of the prime ministers of France. Here's again, Guardian reporting murdered journalist number selected by Mexican NSO client. And it goes further into that. It says the hitman came for Cecilio as he swung in a hammock at a car wash waiting for his pickup to be cleaned. 38-year-old freelance reporter was shot dead on March 2nd, 2017. In a town that's known as a battleground for rival organized crime factions. A few hours earlier, he had broadcast on Facebook Live accusing state police and local politicians of colluding with a violent local cartel known as El Tequilero. And previous weeks, he said that he had received a string of anonymous death threats. And at about the same time, his mobile phone number was selected as a possible target for surveillance by a Mexican client of an SO group. So, I mean, come on. Like, what kind of coincidence is this? Dude's, like, being tracked and then he gets killed.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. And they do have a podcast. I might listen to this later if anybody wants to check it out. It's from The Guardian. It's called The Pegasus Project, Part 3, Cartels, Corruption, and Cyber Weapons. It just kind of gets into that. But just to, you know, I think bring home that, like, we are living in this super digital world, and this is the cost of all the digital things. Like, those of you who've got Echoes.
They can, like, find anybody in China in, like, 5 minutes or something like that. You know, like.
I think it's like 7 facial- It was 7 minutes.
Jeez.
Probably less than that now. Yeah, I mean, like, China is definitely the model for this. When you look at me and Michael were talking about this last week. I did a couple stories on facial recognition and this Israeli firm that's connected to the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, that just got $235 million for facial recognition. And they've they've already used it against Palestinians. They're already, you know, they're connected to Israeli Unit 8200 and some of those kind of groups. So it's like, people need to recognize that the more digitized we get, like when you put the Echo in your house or the Nest or the Siri or just all the different things in the smart fridge and the smart house and the smart whatever, like you are opening yourself up to surveillance in different ways. And somebody's going to get access to that. I mean, I think we've talked about this maybe over the years, Johnny. I don't know if I can find it real quick, but they're like search engines for the Internet of Things, basically, where you can look up. You can look through cameras. I'm trying to find what the – Shodan.io. Let's see if we can just pull this up. Search engine for the Internet of Everything. And basically with this thing, dude, you can go – like people who don't have their baby monitors or their house cameras or all the things that's connected to the cloud and the Internet of Things that aren't secure, you can literally just cycle through them and look at like all kinds of stuff like from all around the world. Here, let's just search baby monitors. Just to show you, Shodan, S-H-O-D-A-N.
We're going to listen to a baby live on air.
I don't think we'll listen to the baby, but see, like, it pulls up, like, it says, okay, here's something in Hong Kong. Let's see if it opens up anything. All right. Well, we don't need to do this on air, but yeah, my point is, like, there's search engines like this that you can really look through all the interconnectivity that we already have, the internet-connected devices. Shodan is the world's first search engine for internet-connected devices. And you can, like, I've used it before just kind of to check it out. It's a trip. You can see so much of people's lives that they don't even realize is out there. And it's just, and that's just some silly internet stuff. That's not hacking anything, you know? So
you're saying you could get into people's cameras through that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I could find a doorbell camera.
I don't know I can't remember how it works. It looks like they may have a paid service now, but before you used to be able to basically just search by state or country, and then there would just be like a list. And you could sometimes see a thumbnail, but you just click through them and it'll be like, oh, here's somebody's garage cam. Here's somebody's baby monitor's cam. Here's somebody's this, you know, like it's crazy, dude. Their doorbell camera, their whatever. Like, yeah. So those of you out there doing that stuff, if you're not securing your devices, like Wi-Fi and everything else, like people can gain access to that. You don't have to be some Unit 8200 Israeli hacker to figure that out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But anyways, man, let's go on. That's Pegasus. I hope everybody will check that out and look deeper into that. I kind of reserve my judgment. Like I said, I don't know if it's the biggest story happening right now. Maybe it's all a psyop or it's a distraction or something. We'll soon find out. But worth mentioning.
How do you spell Shodan? Somebody wants to know.
So it's shodan.io is the website. Shodan. Yeah, Shodan. Okay, so I put that up there. All right, Johnny, I know you wanted to talk about this one. We're going to get into some COVID news now. And I saw Rand Paul's name going around the block again. He's going
very
back
frustrated
with Fauci. Yeah, tell me about this.
I mean, they just got into it. Like, it's actually, I think it was a pretty creative way of Rand, like, because we've been wondering, you know, like, a lot of people have flip-flopped on, like, tons of different issues, like, over time. And the lab theory was one of the biggest, like, no-nos along, like, back when this first happened in March. Like, lab theory, conspiracy theorists, like, you're just so crazy. It was obviously from a bat. And now, you know, evidence is kind of coming out to contrast that. And we also have evidence that Fauci and the NIH specifically were funding the Wuhan lab for gain-of-function research. And the angle that Rand Paul ended up taking was saying that you lied in front of court, or lied in front of Congress, right? And it's illegal to lie in front of Congress. So he basically was asking him to retract his statement that he apparently made previously, which was, you know, we're not funding gain-of-function research. He completely denied funding it in Wuhan. Nothing to do with gain-of-function. And then now it's coming out that they had it, and Fauci's basically playing semantics, essentially saying people up and down his chain of command said that they didn't technically consider what they were doing there gain of function. So basically, you know, like, it's kind of, that's how it ended. That's how these things always end. You know, it's like, well, I'm basically just going to have my view and you're going to have yours. And, you know, we just had that publicly, but I don't know.
Yeah, I want to play some of that clip here. I'm going to pull it up. Sure. I think that he did do a good job of it because, I mean, like, again, I don't necessarily endorse everything Rand Paul says, but he did do a good job of pointing out that Fauci did lie. Like, he lied under oath because they've had this back and forth for a couple of months now, right? So he talked to him about this a couple months ago, and he straight up brought up, like, examples of them, NIH funding and all that, and he denied it. So, but yeah, we're just going to play this exchange. It's just about 2 or 3 minutes long. So this is Dr. Fauci and Rand Paul get into a heated exchange at the Senate hearing. Check this out.
Viruses that were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as the Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches, these are Dr. Ebright's words, this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans, right? You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get NIH, one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab. And there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself. I totally resent
the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is the gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is
not get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are the one.
Time is expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible to result in SARS-CoV-2.
Cause the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying.
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was.
All right. I think we've heard enough there. So that's Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci going back and forth.
How dare you, Rand?
Look, I want to show you this mainstream article because, I mean, it is such BS, dude, that like they're still trying to fight it. But even just weeks ago, Fauci was like, well, we think it could have, you know, we don't want to write off the.
Well, maybe it happened.
And even the World Health Organization, like we might have wrote it off too soon or whatever. But he doesn't want to admit this. And look, this is mainstream Newsweek magazine. Again, I don't trust Newsweek. They do put out propaganda too. But last April 28th, 2020, Dr. Fauci backed controversial Wuhan lab with U.S. dollars for risky coronavirus
so
research.
So this is like this, not even
this is
news.
An old story. This is an old story, man. Like, I don't understand why it's controversial when I know I wrote about this last year, probably around the same time when it started to come out, whenever the documents first came out. And they mentioned EcoHealth.
Yeah, like, why is Rand Paul doing this, like, right now?
I don't know. And the EcoHealth Alliance is just, as a note, is one of the organizations funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So there's that tie. But so the story we were showing earlier from the Free Thought Project, it says Rand Paul is now calling for a criminal DOJ investigation into Fauci for lying to Congress. So, you know, after that exchange, now he's basically saying like, hey, I'm going to put a, he, according to him, he says he put a, sending a criminal referral letter to the Department of Justice about Fauci claiming that, you know, he's being dishonest. So, is it just mainstream
doing it publicly? So,
I mean, yeah, it's getting the conversation out there. I don't know if anything's going to come of it, but.
And it's still one of those aspects of the story that's like, the question is really though, like, cause like in the exchange, Fauci does admit he was funding research that he basically did admit he was funding the research that Rand Paul was talking about.
But he's claiming it's not exactly gain of function because of this. This
yeah, his argument is they decided
it's semantic bullshit.
But like the question is like, even that, what he just said right there should be enough for people to say like, maybe this guy who funded that almost gain of function research regarding a very similar virus that just so happens to be sweeping the globe right now in a, you know, suspicious timeline. I mean, maybe he's not the best person to be sitting where he is. I don't know. It's just
maybe
like,
we should think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I got one more that's kind of related to this. We're going to talk about some of the insane censorship that's just been popping up. I mean, obviously, this has been going on for years now, but it's ramping up one way or the other. We're going to talk about that, but I want to cover one more story and then hit a song real quick. This is just pretty much a headline, but just so you know what's going on out there. And the kind of information that's being published, you know, put it out there in the mainstream. Former Health and Human Services Secretary, who was Kathleen Sebelius. She was under the Obama administration. She was on CNN's show Out Front, where she said that she thinks people who choose to abstain from the COVID shot should not have access to kids. Like, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to freely travel. So here's her exact quote. Quote, we're in a situation where we have have a wildly effective vaccine, multiple choices, lots available, free of charge. And we have folks who are just saying, I won't do it. I think it's time to say to those folks, it's fine if you don't choose to get vaccinated. However, she says, you may not come to work. You may not have access to a situation where you're going to put my grandchildren in jeopardy, where you might kill them, or you might put them in a situation where they're going to carry the virus to someone in a high risk position. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. Look, she continues, just one other thing. She continues, that's, I think, the point where we are. Is freedom is one thing, but freedom when you harm others, like secondhand smoke and issues that we've dealt with, where like issues we've dealt with clearly in the past, you can't drive drunk. You can drink, but you can't drive drunk because you injure people. You can't smoke inside of a public place where you can give cancer to someone else in spite of them never being a smoker. And then she goes on. So I think we're reaching the point in the U.S. where those of us who are vaccinated, I want to take my mask off. I want to be able to live my life with vaccination. And right now I'm being impinged on by people who say, I don't want to get vaccinated. It's fine. I want them to maybe have a limitation on where they can go and who they can infect. What do you think?
I hate that argument. It's so frustrating. Everyone always brings up the drunken car one. I mean, and she really compared humans to secondhand smoke. I mean, how is that the same thing? How is that the same thing at all? Like, just to say that we're spreading disease like that. While, I mean, what's the death count at, like, per week in America? You know, even according to, like, the PCR numbers right now. Like, I just don't get why it's still a state of emergency. Like, at this point, they're telling people to get vaccinated. Most people aren't getting vaccinated because COVID-19 isn't raging through the streets right now. Or, you know, they actually have like some kind of moral, religious, or other reason not to, you know. And now they're just, it just feels desperate. Like, it's already felt desperate. We already talked about this. This, like,
it is desperate.
We've been just like following it right along. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's basically like they were like, you got to get them. We're running out. Like, oh, we don't have enough. Only old people can get them. So everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to get mine. You know, everyone who's going to get it gets in line. Once those people ran out, they're pretty much like, well, you could win $1 million. Look, like, you know, this fucking guy over here, he's like, you know, Beyonce is getting vaccinated. Maybe you should do it and like put out their propaganda. And then once that, you know, those little contests were over and all that kind of stuff. Like, now they're finally like, hey, guys, we tried to give you money. We tried to give you sandwiches. But now you are going to kill us. Like, and just like never has there been a time where it's been like freedom. I guess it's like just coming down to the fundamentals of freedom here, because the question is, do they have the freedom to be safe from not getting sick, or do we have the freedom to risk being sick? That's one of the roots, at least, of the argument, right? So it's like,
yeah, it is.
Would you rather, how would you put that in a versus? It's like freedom of risk versus freedom of protection from
It's just that there's these concepts, negative liberty and positive liberty. And some people view freedom as like freedom from things, right? So that probably would be us and most people in the science, or some of them. Everybody's different, right? But like, I want to be free from harm. I want to be free from taxation, free from coercion. Where other people are like, I want the freedom to go to college for free. I want the freedom to be taken care of by the government. I want the freedom. You know, they kind of see it. So that's like negative and positive liberty is just one way to think of it. But I think it ultimately comes down to viewing things in a collectivist way or an individualist way, like, which is an oversimplification, but I think it's like, that's what it is really boiled down to it. Like, I realized this, especially about vaccines, when I ran the campaign for mayor, when I saw how much people would push back, even when I'm not like saying, hey, I'm against all vaccines, just saying, hey, if I was mayor or I was in any kind of government position, we would never enforce mandatory vaccinations, which is really relevant right now. Right. And at the time, some people were like, well, even that was like, I can't support you because you have that stance, because they would say these things. This is before COVID. They would say like about measles, because that's what it was before. It was like, oh no, well, if you don't get vaccinated, then the measles is going to spread, and I have the right to be free from, you know, your viruses or your illnesses. Or people say your freedom ends where my health begins. These kinds of things, right? And what it really just comes down to, like, it's, do you believe
conversation?
Well, do you believe that your individual freedom should be restricted for the overall health of the collective? Like, that's what it comes down to. Whereas some of these folks say, yes, they think that, look, at a certain point, individual rights don't matter. We're facing a pandemic. So if we got to lock some people up and quarantine them because they just are too stupid to follow, well, then so be it, because it's good for everybody. Like, that's what it comes down to. Or some people get injured. The crazy thing, just too bad.
The crazy thing, though, is at this point, the pandemic, the numbers, the data, the science, they're not there. Like, the hospitalizations aren't there right now. The, you know, the numbers, there's just the possibility of a variant. So it's like the people who are making these arguments right now, they're not making the arguments for like against getting sick, but against the possibility of someone like possibly, you know, like starting up again, getting sick. Like, does that make sense? Like, it just seems like such a rare, like, I don't know. I just can't see the risk benefit of it when we have the VAERS system like being like overly reported right now, and I don't know. It's crazy.
There's really just no way for us to trust it. It's just hard to trust anything that's happening, you know? So, well, all right, guys, we're going to play some quick music. We'll be back. And unfortunately, the next topic isn't much prettier or more appealing, I guess, but it's important. And that's what we try to bring you guys here is uncensored news, underground music. You've probably heard about the increasing level of censorship, domestic extremism, misinformation. These are all phrases being thrown around. And I'm definitely starting to feel it. I know other people are. And it's very soon that lots of the content we're bringing you guys is probably not going to be available on the internet. And I know that we've been feeling that for a couple of years, but it really feels like we're getting close. So we're going to get into that and more in just a moment. Johnny, tell us about this Dead Rabbit song.
This song's called Ella Lane, and Micah, our banjo player, a.k.a. Banjovi, he wrote it for his beautiful fiancée, Laura.
Cool. All right, we'll be right back. This is Freethinker Radio. All right, that was cool. That was fun.
58 Sweet. Seconds of Irish punk.
Sweet, awesome. Where can people find more Dead Rabbits? I know that you're in that band.
Spotify, YouTube. I think that's like the main spots. We also just have vinyls, so you can order vinyl records if you're into that.
Cool. All right, everybody check that out. All right, well, let's get into some of this disinformation talk, Johnny. I'm just going to share a couple points, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. And, of course, wherever you're listening from, Float, DLive, Odyssey, Facebook even, we'd love to hear your thoughts. So the Biden administration has made it clear in recent months that they're not going to, at least you know what they're claiming is like, we're not going to mandate vaccine passports. We're not going to mandate these things. We're just going to encourage private companies to do that, right? So they've been saying they're going to encourage local mandates and private companies to initiate some form of vaccine passport. We're already seeing it come into fruition in UK, France. Micah and I were talking last week how there was the announcements for this in France and Greece that they were going to start requiring these everywhere. Then over the weekend, there were these massive protests in France we're going to talk about in just a moment. So like this is, you know, it's reaching a tipping point in some place. Australia is going back in lockdown. Canada is now saying that their borders, the only people, they've been closed for a while, but now they're saying they're reopening their borders, but only for vaccinated people. So you can't even like leave Canada unless you're vaccinated now, which is insane to think about. And so we've got that while they're talking about,
what do you call somewhere you can't leave?
A cage. So they're talking about extremists. They're talking about, you know, how do we combat this? And now we've got this really weird push where it's kind of like the Great Reset World Economic Forum. What do they call it? Oh, yeah, public-private partnership. What have other people called that? The murder of corporate state power. And I know it has a name, but I can't remember it. But so this article is just sort of like an opinion piece. It's a pretty good article called Can the Biden Administration Censor the Internet Through Private Companies? And that's basically what we've been seeing happen in the last week or so is the Biden administration, particularly Press Secretary Jen Psaki, I don't know how to say her name, stated that the private companies like Facebook should do more to shut down misinformation. Biden even saying that like Facebook is killing people because of the information spread on it. And the Biden administration just saying like they're going to put some, you know, they're going to put the weight on these companies and really encourage them to it. I found this other article as well. White House says that they have reached out to networks to talk to them about vaccines. So now they're directly talking to them. This includes Fox. I thought this was interesting because I was telling you as well before the show, Johnny, let me see if I can pull this one up, that, you know, Tucker Carlson and some other Fox hosts have been getting some crap for a while and other right-wing conservative hosts saying like they're spreading misinformation. But then after that report that the White House is reaching out to certain networks, then we get this one. and you get a what is called a viral plea from Sean Hannity to take COVID seriously, but they're saying Tucker Carlson continues to promote anti-vaccine skepticism, promote vaccine skepticism. But you had two different Fox News hosts, Sean Hannity, of course, people know who he is. And then the other guy, I can't remember his name, Ducey, I think was his name. But it's like another, yeah, here we go, Ducey. Ducey co-host Brian Kilmeade, he's the one who interjected. But yeah, it was during this other Fox News segment, host Steve Ducey, host of Fox and Friends. He implored viewers to, quote, get the shot, it will save your life. So then it's just interesting. There's like an internal science war maybe going on in Fox. But I think that it's just a sign that this propaganda is working. So just want to kind of set that stage. Is like, so last week they said that they're going to work with Facebook to examine disinformation. They also floated the idea of looking at people's text messages. I don't know if you caught that story where they're saying
definitely
they're
going
to, so talking about social media, which they've been doing, talking about going to text messages, talking about partnering with the private TV networks, talking about private working with Facebook and doing that. And then you had the Surgeon General come out last week and put out this press conference where he issued like a special statement saying that, you know, we are facing a health crisis and it's this misinformation that people are going to get killed because of this misinformation. So he issued this like 12-page report, and that 12-page report was kind of built off the work of this other organization that is pretty shadowy. I know we've talked about them before and some people have dug into them. They're called the Center for Countering Digital Hate. And there's like this main one guy who he's like a spokesman for the government, says like, yeah, we have the disinformation dozen, which includes friends and people that we had speaking at the Greater Reset, like Dr. Mercola, Kelly Brogan, Sire G, RFK Jr., other people that, you know, I know some of the folks who follow our show are familiar with. They're now being named directly by the White House and named by the Surgeon General as like a threat to our health and safety. And then on that same day, here we go, Rockefeller Foundation steps in and commits $13.5 million in funding to strengthen public health response efforts. And they announced this. They said after after the statement by the Surgeon General, they respond immediately to his confronting health misinformation document. And they said this is going to go to help strengthen COVID efforts in U.S., Africa, India, and Latin America to counter health mis- and disinformation, confusing, inaccurate, and harmful information that spreads at unprecedented speeds and level. So, I mean,
dude, wow, it's dude, so crazy. Like, where were these people in all their freaking money when we were becoming like the fattest nation on earth? Like, where were all these people with all their money? Like, you know, when we're getting like pumped with glyphosate from like Monsanto, like as if they really cared about like, you know, like our health. And now they're trying to claim that words are directly related to people's sickness. So it's like, you can't even have a podcast and talk about, you can't even be wrong. You know, you can't even be like against what they have to say. And I mean, once this precedent is set, then I mean, who knows if we'll be able to do what we, I mean, they got these people once they, I mean, it's not like if you took off the 12 most popular alternative media, news anchors or whatever you want to call them, podcasters, and it wouldn't be the next 12 that everyone else turns to and their views would get them to the same place. And it's just like, what a dangerous time for free speech. And
they're not going to stop, dude. They're not going to stop.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's, and
it's scary, it is scary, man. I mean, like, where are we going to go? I mean, like, once they can get into your text messages, if they could pull down websites. I mean, I don't know if you saw what was happening with Ryan Christian, but like, he's having like all kinds of weird stuff going on with his internet connection. And like the cable company can't even figure it out. PayPal just stole all his money too.
Yeah, I want to talk about that for a moment, because we're recording on Wednesday. This started happening. So all of those conversations were going on last week. This talk of disinformation, White House, etc. Monday when I woke up, I got a message saying that I was like banned from Discord. I don't even really use it. Somebody else maintains the channel for the Conscious Resistance. My remaining Google account, which is just like a Google voice number I use for phone calls every now and then, locked me out of it. And then I got banned on Twitter for like 2 weeks, all in the same morning. And then that was whenever Ryan started telling me that he got his PayPal account frozen. And for those who don't know, I write for Ryan's website, The Last American Vagabond. So now like he's got a good chunk of his money locked up by PayPal. That, you know, it's not just you locked out of your account, here's your money. It's like, we're holding on to this money. And then Peggy Hall, who's another, I think her thing is the Healthy American. Some folks know her. She also was part of the Greater Reset. I saw she posted, she just got locked out of PayPal. Like, it doesn't seem to be coincidental. I think that there is a coordinated effort starting to ramp up. And we saw this 2018 whenever a bunch of pages all got deleted on the same day and a bunch of people got kicked off on the same day.
This is the thing that drives me crazy is like, you know, Biden, it's ironic that Biden's in the position he's in because he was right there when, you know, Bush, like around the same, like he was right there after Bush, like just put in, like, you know, the Patriot Act, and he did the NDAA and these things where, you know, the biggest controversy was like, they'll never be able to use this on American citizens. It's like, yeah, they left the loophole open. They left the door open to, you know, detain American citizens, or, you know, they left the loophole open to, you know, go after and create martial law and things like that. And it's like, they'll never turn on in our citizens. But here we are seeing like a full on shift away from like the terrorism story in the Middle East into the terrorism at home. And it's white supremacists, it's COVID misinformation pushers. And it seems to be like, you know, a weird left wing like swing, but in an authoritarian way. Like, I don't know, like the country's just going in this crazy weird place, I feel like. But it's all like, we've been seeing the writing on the wall for so long, like this could be used on us one day, because when they say that they're fighting something, you know, bad, you know, they can censor the internet because they say they're trying to like get rid of child porn, but they also throw in extra things like, you know, oh, by the way, also, you know, podcasts that's talk badly about the CIA.
You know, yeah, man, like, it's it really is a slippery kind of, slope.
What kind of technology is going to be available in 10 years, and what's the public going to accept, and what's the public not going to accept? Because yeah, we really are sitting here like a precipice of, you know, of a very important time in what feels like history right now, like in America, you know, a tipping point of some kind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got a couple more stories, guys, and we're going to wrap up for today. One of them is kind of related to this, Johnny, because you, what you're talking about there, you know, what if we don't push back in some way, if we don't find ways to break free from these systems, then they're just clearly they're just going to continue to march forward. And I got one example of what it looks like, and then one example of what it looks like when we push back. Ghana to become first country to use contactless biometrics and national vaccination program. This is the Great Reset future. This is the technocracy. And unsurprisingly, and these folks are pushing it in places like Africa.
Of course they're doing it in Africa.
Yeah, and this is the Ghana Health Services. Check this out. It's a Ghana Health Services in partnership with Gavi. Gavi, of course, is founded and funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, will begin a biometric-based national vaccine program in October 2021 using contactless technology from SimPrints. It says the project is reportedly the first national vaccination scheme to use contactless biometrics. So they've already given out their vaccines. Now they're going to move on to incorporate other routine vaccines as a function of the Ghana Health Service, with their aim to have universal health coverage. And that's why I think that things like that's like the wolf in sheep's clothing, dude. When they talk about we want to give everybody free health care, but they want to give you their health care.
Well, there's that. And like, I mean, how often is like, I don't want to make assumptions because I don't know that much about the country Ghana, but like, I would assume that, you know, they probably need, you know, money more, or they wouldn't be able to buy large amounts of vaccines for their population, possibly. Because that's a relatively small country, right?
Yeah, and then that's what happens is that Bill Gates comes in and pretends to be a philanthropist.
They say, we'll give you all these vaccines for free, but we want to test out our surveillance equipment. Or like, and then, like, you know, people who just don't, you know, for whatever reason, who don't typically see that kind of thing. I'm not sure. Like, I wouldn't know the call. I don't want to say too much without knowing, like, the true culture in Ghana. They could be more, you know,
tech-savvy
and modern than I recognize. But
I think that you're not incorrect in that somewhat of an assumption there, because, I mean, this is sort of that – this is – folks have been talking
about
this
for a while. It's what they do.
This is the next level of colonization of Africa is coming in – you know, with technology and saying like, hey, we know some of y'all are the quote unbankable, that no banks will work with you. Well, we're going to give you a digital blockchain ID and blah, 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 and get you biometric ID. And now you get plugged in the system, you get healthcare, you have vaccines, and we have your fingerprints and facial recognition. Like it's the technocracy, but yeah, they're selling it to people who might not be as informed. Even in Mexico where I'm at, man, like there's just not the awareness of why people should be concerned of surveillance technology out here in Mexico. There's just not a culture for it yet. People haven't quite realized it.
Yeah, you just have to see far enough ahead, and
yeah,
here we go. I mean, here we go. Yeah, like like we didn't really think, like the biometrics in the vaccines, like doesn't even make sense for a lot of people, right? Like who cares? Like, oh yeah, well they already got my name and my address and like all this stuff. But it's like, when you start realizing what they're trying to do with the passports and with the things, they're trying to connect all of, they want your ID to be connected with this. They want your biometrics to be connected with this. They want your biometrics to be connected with your ID as well. And they want that for a specific reason, which is then they can restrict your travel or like hypothetically, you know what I mean? Like that's like the easy way to weed out those people and ostracize them, as they're already trying to do openly as a strategy and have been for two straight years, talking about like, how can we, you know, gently nudge these people? Well, we'll take away their jobs. We'll say they can't, you know, drive across the border. We'll say that they, you know, you can't like order food at this restaurant or, you know, whatever, like you need to do it to go to a concert. Like that's what it's going to be if you're not careful, you know, like you're going to, like they're already saying it, like Boris Johnson saying like you're gonna need this little thing that's gonna let you go drink a beer in a freaking bar, dude. Like
hey, look, we got one of our haters here. Let's see if we can get him to talk. Hey Tor, if we get you the link, will you join instead of just trolling? This is the guy that, for anybody, we've kind of highlighted him in past shows. He's commenting over on Facebook here. I'm gonna cover our face.
Rand Paul's a libertarian piece of shit. We said we didn't agree.
Anti-vixxers are idiots. Rand Paul's libertarian. I applaud the efforts of anyone, including the government, to deplatform anti-vaxxers. Like, look, this is like the tyrannical left, and he doesn't even see it. Like how, like, this is the kind of person that is super dangerous. You either believe in public health or not. Progressives want the government to manage the national COVID response. Much of that job is communicating the need for vaccines. So who cares about freedom? Who cares about choice? It would be irresponsible as a government to not vigorously counter anti-vax info that influences people not to get vaccinated. And then the old, you can't yell fire in a crowd, as if that's like that's like applicable here. Like, but those are the kind of people I just want to, like, this is a dangerous person right here. I mean, I'm just going to call him out.
Me up, dude. Like, it's just like that. What is this guy doing to like forward his like fucking agenda over here? Like, I mean,
it's kind of just, we're like just like
over here trying to like mind our business in our garden and like shop at like the same stores and stuff, like, and you're literally just like going around here like saying like deplatform us. Like, don't you understand that the answer or freedom of speech, the answer to bad speech, if you think that our speech is so bad, then why don't you answer it with more speech? Because
I've encouraged him. I've asked him to come talk about this on the show, because he's been coming on my page and trolling and saying these sorts of things like that. But I really think, and I don't think he does, because he sees, based on his comments, he sees everything through a partisan lens. He'll compare.
You either believe in public health or not. Okay.
Or no, he just frames it like,
what does that even mean, dude?
He says, like, these are Trump idiots. These are Trump, you know, conservative, blah, blah. That's the only thing he can see is, like, left and right. And, yeah, what is public health? I don't even buy that concept. There is no such thing as public health. There's individual health.
And here's the other thing that cracks me up. Somehow,
here he is. If anybody wants to check him out.
Literally, hang on. Here's the thing that cracks me up. I pay, like, $450 for rent, dude. I am in a hot room right now that doesn't have central AC. Derek is not exactly living over there in paradise. We are somehow the problem. Like, we, with all of our information, are battling what? Like, the entire medical industrial complex, and somehow winning. And that's, dude, bothering you. So you want to take people off the internet who are what? Like, Let me
read the rest of his statement. Like, he apparently posted this on Facebook, and he got all of 12 replies, his whole thing. He said that government is, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Social media, in this case, is the theater, and spreading misinformation is yelling fire. We need to oppose the government or anyone else when they lie. We need to support anyone when they tell the truth. Yeah, but see, again, whose truth is that? And why censor doctors who are bringing, it doesn't even matter. In this case, it matters a lot because millions of lives are at stake. All hands on deck. I have been a libertarian socialist, anarchist syndicalist since 1981. Think Chomsky. Not trusting the government is in my DNA. But in this case, the anti-vaxxers are the bad guys, and the government is the enemy of my enemies. It's just a fling, no marriage plan. So he's basically saying, like, yeah, I trust the government for this because I hate the anti-vaxxers that much and because blah, 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 whatever. And then, look, he shared this. Johnny, I had to share this. Like, please go to this while you're in Houston. Please go to this. At least film this. Okay, look, this is something he shared that's happening this weekend in Houston. It's called Stand Against QAnon, Proud Boys, InfoWars, and Anti-Vaxxers.
I'm not going to that. This guy doesn't understand shit. I'm not a single one of those things.
But I'm saying go film it to see what if there's even anybody there. I don't know if this is like... Oh, okay. So it says, look, QAnon and their fascist friends. So again, look at these assumptions. Are organizing anti-vaccine rallies in several countries on Saturday, July 24th. You know what this is? These are called the World Freedom rallies that are happening all around the world, dude. I've seen them happening in Mexico, and they have nothing to do with QAnon. They're happening in all over the world. It's called like World Freedom Day. And I guess it's this weekend. The one in Houston will be held at City Hall. So yeah, there's going to be a face-off. These people are calling for confronting the anti-vaxxers.
Look at how he just worded all that. White supremacists. We've seen this crowd of people that would go to this. They're not white supremacists.
Yeah, these are like moms and
you're
like
the racist, just, dude.
I mean, look at this. It says, when some of the anti-vaxxers fired from Houston Methodist Hospital rallied in Medical Center, their friends from QAnon, Proud Boys, InfoWars, Texas Nomads. I was there. There was not InfoWars or QAnon or Proud Boys there.
Dude, nobody in our community watches InfoWars.
Oh my God. These are the kind of people that are calling for, like, that are out there trolling us right now. And I'm sorry we even spending any time on this guy, but I think it's important. Look, this is the Houston United Front Against Fascism, Houston Socialist Movement, and they're calling for deep platforming people. Yeah, because they think that this is the problem is once you label someone a fascist and you say they shouldn't have a platform, you can label anybody that. Anti-vaxxer,
just
fascist,
a couple
whatever.
Of conservatives always show up, like, you know, just doesn't mean that everyone there is a conservative, but I guess that's really just so hard to possibly think that people are different while they're standing next to each other. And they can stand for the same cause and believe different things about economics. Wild.
Yeah.
So wild.
All right. I got to go in just a moment, but I want to show one more thing, and I hope we still got Tori with us or anybody who is skeptical, because for a couple of things. I know that Micah would agree with this. We've never sat here on the show and told anybody what to do with their own health. We've only talked about examples of concerns that have been brought up, people who've reported having adverse reactions. We've talked about the concerns of the PCR test. We've talked about all the different concerns, right? But ultimately, it's up to you to decide what you want. And we're just doing, I think, you know, I consider myself a journalist. At the least, we're podcasters and we try to speak truth and activists. And so we bring you guys all the information out there. Of course, the mainstream's telling you it's safe. We're trying to show you what other folks are showing. And what I'm showing on screen right now, if you're watching or listening, I encourage you to look at the screen. This is from an Instagram profile called Queen City Dom, Queen City D-O-M, if you want to look her up. I don't have Instagram, so I'm using this other website to look at her profile. And as you can see, this is a pretty blonde woman here. She's got like a life. Here's her photos of her wedding recently, and she doesn't have any kind of conspiracy stuff posted on here. No anti-vaxxer, right-wing, InfoWars, fascist stuff, just a regular woman promoting her life. We can go just keep seeing, like, she's just a lady, just a normie here. She closed
the
deal
on
the house.
Food.
Yeah, she's posting her food pitch. She posted, like, she just bought a house. Okay, so why are we looking at her profile? Because her most recent post has hundreds of thousands of views, guys, and it is two short clips of her, how she's kind of existing now after getting the vaccine. I'm just going to read the post to you. It's from March 18th. She says, March 18, 2021 is the day I made a decision that flipped my entire world upside down. I've been extremely quiet about this decision and the adverse effects that it caused me simply because I didn't want to scare anyone out of making their own decision on receiving the vax. With all that being said, I made the decision to get my vax before I left Vegas to move back to my home state of North Carolina because I wanted to play it safe and make sure those around me weren't in harm's way. I also do have underlying autoimmune issues, which I have openly talked about for a while. I'm not ashamed of why I received the vax because I know my heart was in a good place and my intentions were pure. And yet here I am struggling with adverse side effects from this life-changing decision. Doctors have been pretty lost on what exactly is going on, running multiple tests, medical imaging, neurological exams, coming back with no answers. Here's just a glimpse of what I've been dealing with. Symptoms that come and go. dystonia, difficulty walking and weakness within the legs, dull aching and sharp shooting pains within legs, vertigo, heart palpitations, lack of sensation throughout the body, cold sensation in the legs, pain behind the eyes, tremors in right hand, symptoms that are 24/7, short-term memory loss, trouble forming sentences, feeling out of body depth, perception is off, visual changes, severe brain fog. I'm not sharing this post to scare anyone out of making their own decision. However, I do believe that people must know exactly what the risks are. These stories shouldn't be so hidden on social media platforms or the news, and I'm done being so quiet about this. If there's anyone out there that is experiencing something similar, please don't be afraid to let your voice be heard. Please share. I can use all the insight and help I can get right now. And I'm just going to play these short clips. Here she is, Johnny. Here's, if you guys can see this. So for those who are going to be listening to the podcast, she's visibly shaking her arm. She's sitting on the couch and she's like in tears as her kind of arms are just, she's got like tremors. Clearly it's almost kind of looks like a seizure of sorts where she can't sit still. Let me see if we got the other one. There's two clips of these. Let me see if I can, yeah, go to the next one here. This is another one showing her sitting on the couch again. Same thing. She's kind of just shaking wildly. Yeah, and if you want to find this on your own Instagram, she's a Queen City Dom, D-O-M. If you want to look her up, she's looking for support, looking to share her story. This is real stuff, man. So it does piss me off when people like Tori Mercer come along with all their self-righteousness and this and that and talking all this crazy shit.
I wonder what he would say to her face.
You know, and then
what he would say.
Well, I mean, I think it ultimately comes back to what I was saying earlier, man, is that even him, this guy's like an anarcho-syndicalist, libertarian socialist, whatever, like, he sounds like, to me, a status collectivist. And this is somebody that would say, that, okay, well, so she got injured. She's a small percentage. Like, the vast majority of everybody's okay. So, oh, well. Like, that's kind of what they're saying is that, like, if your daughter.
What do you mean,
son,
like, the small percentage of people that are affected by COVID?
Yeah, it's like, well, that's the thing is, see, that's why the whole argument is just based on BS, because when you recognize it's not as dangerous as they pumped it up in everybody's head, this one's not playing, but it's her trying to walk down the hallway and she's having a difficult time. So I just wanted to show that. But yeah, like that's why their whole argument is BS, because when you recognize that, like, that it's not as dangerous as they want us to believe, then there's no reason to fear monger. There's no reason to like, oh, we need to deplatform these people. We need to do this or that, because they're making people lose their lives just because. Somebody like him, he says he's anti-government or whatever, but he also is the kind of person that would reject so-called conspiracy theories. So they can't fathom that these different power players could be working together to lie to people, to make money, to push an agenda. That's just beyond his understanding. So, of course, they can't see what's happening. That's just, it's just where it's at, man.
Well, Tori, you can come on the show anytime, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. So, all right, guys. Well, that's it for tonight. We appreciate you listening. I'm going to close with my newest song that I released called Another Cage, if you want to check it out. My music's at soundcloud.com/33 is here. Appreciate you guys listening. And we'll be back next week, hopefully with Micah. Have the full crew with us. Anything else, Johnny?
That's it. Stay safe, y'all. Love you guys.
Yeah. Don't go to that. Don't go. Oh, my God. That QAnon counter-protest. It's not even a QAnon protest, but that's what they're calling it. Anyways, if you QAnon. Go to that, film it. Wherever you're at.
Later.
All right, guys. Peace out. Enjoy the song.
Third 33. We got cages in our mind and our hearts. Sometimes you are living in physical cages. But at the end of the day, you can always set yourself free. So let's do this. Yo, I got a story that I need to tell. It's about rock bottom and living in hell. I'm losing my mind, but I'm finding myself. So many sleepless nights, man, I ain't living well. I'm trying to find my balance, I'm trying to find my center. But I keep on living the life of a sinner. I like pushing limits, so I'm searching for the edge. But if I keep doing dope, man, I'm gonna end up dead. I'm headed down the same path as my father. I'm not having fun, I don't know why I bother. The apple don't rot too far from the tree. Does that mean he's what I'm destined to be? I'm trying to be a better man and carve my own path. I tried drug dealing, but that ain't where it's at. Now I'm locked in a cage, doing time behind bars. I got better things to do, man, I'm aiming for the stars. Yeah, it's just another day. Just another cage. Yeah, it's just another day. And just another cage. Now I'm free from the prison and my journey begins. As I start a new life, the old one ends. So this is what it feels like to be alive. This might be the first time that I'm whole inside. But now I see my people, they're living as slaves. They hide from the truth, they don't see the cage. And I walked out the prison walls, cause my battle's been won. But I didn't get out of cage, just to go back to one. Sometimes a prison is a place in your mind. If you look deep enough, you just might find the doubts and the fears that are holding you back. Watch out for the darkness, I promise it's a trap. Maybe it's time we face the opposition. Let's take a look at society's division. It's time to recognize our place in opposition. Cause there's plenty of blame from where I'm sitting. Yeah, it's just another day. Just another cage. Yeah, it's just another day. And just another cage. I know it's a cliche you probably heard before, but we are the ones we've been waiting for. This is our moment to shine, to fly free. This is where we find out what we're destined to be. Can we open our eyes and free our minds? Are we ready to see and read between the lines? I give thanks every day, cause I know it's our time. The moment we heal, cause I can see the signs. The symbols, the people we are searching for. This journey's about finding out what's in store. And I don't got all the answers, but I know I'm free. This is the truth, this is what we're meant to be. The only thing holding us back is our shadow. Escape the dark, find the light, and you will grow. The truth is this, we were meant to survive. We ain't meant for cages, we are meant to thrive. Yeah, it's just another day. Just another cage. Yeah, it's just another day. And just another cage. Man, I'm sick of living in cages. Fuck this. I'm out.